Okay, well, here we are on the first fruits of the Lord. Make that a little higher, because it does seem a little low, doesn't it? Testing, one, two. Could everyone? Oh, now it's a little red. There you go. I'll make it a little lower. Well, that's good enough, because, okay, I'm going to start the study. So, is everybody ready? Here we are on the first fruits of the living God. And it looks like we're going to have some rain to water our crops. We're going to blow the trumpet like we always do. Which is just a memorial from Numbers chapter 10. And it's the calling of the assembly, and we're going to do it right now. Very good. That sounded excellent. We're rejoiceful today. Happy first fruits. Amen. We're one of Messiah congregation, Kahal HaBeMashiach, just part of the Adat Yisrael, a little piece of the Israel of God around the world, and everyone's welcome today. It's sad, I was on the way here. I see churches that have Easter, and that erases the whole resurrection of the Messiah. And then in my neighborhood, where I'm from, yesterday they did egg hunts. Easter egg hunts. That has nothing to do with the resurrection. That should show you, but it's disguised in such a cute way, and it's for the children. Well, you shouldn't lie to your children. It's the resurrection of the Messiah, first fruits. And we're going to pray and ask God to bless this study. It's going to be short today. Heavenly Father, Master of the universe, we come to you today, Lord and God, with open hearts, minds, and souls to receive something from you. Cover us, Lord and God, with thy holy blood, and if any sin, any blemish, any spot, I pray you'll bring us more people, Lord and God. You see that we were hungering for brothers and sisters, true ones, people that keep your commandments and are not ashamed of the gospel of the Lord. Heavenly Father, I pray you'll bless this reading today. Make it fruitful, make it bless everyone's soul. Lord, it's your word, and I thank God for it. I pray you'll touch everyone that needs a healing touch today in their bodies, strength, wisdom. You know exactly what everyone needs, more fear, faith, understanding. And I pray you'll take away all false doctrine from us. And Father, we see when you take all the false doctrine away from us, we see it still in everyone else because they don't pray these prayers. And we desire just the truth, Lord and God. It's all we want. Bless and anoint this first fruits unto the living God. And this resurrection of Yeshua the Messiah. And we give you the glory today, Father, in Yeshua's name. Amen.
Amen.
Shalom, everyone.
Shalom.
Here we are on the first day of the week, known as Sunday, unfortunately, but it is the first day of the week, and it's not a Sabbath today, but it is a day to acknowledge. Today is March 31st. It's actually the last day of March in 2013. You know, it's amazing. When I say that, my mind flashes to programs I watch on TV, and 1975, 1973, 1959, and I just see, boy, time just keeps going, it seems. We're up to 2013, we think, and God has His own calendar. Today we're in the 18th day of Ha'aviv, Nisan. We don't know what year it is in God's calendar. Could you put a little fan on, please? It's a little hot in here. And yeah, it's a shame we don't know what year it is. That's a mystery to us. Just a little reminder before I read some scriptures. Don't forget, Tuesday night starts the last day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, and that is a Sabbath, right? So that means all day Wednesday, no buying and selling, right? No work. What else? Everyone in your dwelling is supposed to be keeping it. It's a holy convocation, a public meeting, a public assembly. We'll be here, Lord willing. I don't know if we'll be here Tuesday night, but we'll be here. We'll probably be Tuesday night online, and then Wednesday we'll be here at 12 o'clock. But anyway, that's April 3rd, believe it or not. And I thank God for another day to be here. Obviously, today's topic is the resurrection of Yeshua the Messiah. You know, it's really sad. I remember a long time ago, I haven't heard this lately, but I heard this a long time ago. Some people might ask, is Yeshua alive today? How do you know he's alive today? Where is he? I haven't seen him. Have you?
Yes.
And beyond a doubt, this is the most important question in the world to every man, woman, and child in the world today. Actually, for that matter, for every person who has ever lived or whoever will be born. It's the most important question, because without that, everything's fake. Everything's of no avail. On this issue of whether or not Messiah was raised from the dead revolves the truth or falsity of what we believe, as well as all mankind's hope of a future life with God in eternity. So it's either true or false, right?
Yeah.
And that makes us spiritual forensic detectives. That's why I always use that term. This is why it's so important to know the Word of God, so you can point out all the witnesses that claim they saw the appearing the many times in the Bible, appearing of Yeshua. It's really important to know that. A lot of people think that the apostles just said that. No, they said he seen it, and he seen it, and they seen it, and I seen it, and you seen it. You know, they made sure it was a fact. It's really important to do that. You know, yesterday we read chapter 15 of Corinthians, which is very important, 1 Corinthians. Apostle Paul really breaks it down. But I just wanted to read a couple of verses from it. Paul states, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and wherein you stand." You know, that we're standing in this, of course. "By which also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you just believe in vain." Now, Paul makes it very clear. He says, and that it says, "For I delivered unto you, first of all, which I have also received, how that Yeshua died for our sins," and he always goes, "according to the Tanakh, the scriptures," okay? He always makes sure you know that. It's not according to any of his letters he's writing. It's not according to anybody else's letter. It's according to the Tanakh, the scriptures. "And that he was buried, and that he rose the third day according to the scriptures," right? Everybody got that? Notice how they don't quote, "my letter says this and your letter says that." They say it's always the law of Moses or the Torah or the, you know, whatever they say. And then Paul makes sure he brings up the witnesses, because in a court of law, you have to have out of the mouth of two or more, the truth is established, you know. I mean, Yeshua made sure he didn't show up to one person, because then no one would believe him. But he showed up to innumerable people. And right here, he was seen of Cephas and of the 12, right? After that, he was seen of about 500 brethren at once. So over 500 people saw him at once. And this is, I mean, that's pretty amazing. "Of whom the greater part remain unto this present, of course, but now everyone has fallen asleep at this time." That means they're dead. But just think, all those witnesses, you know, then, you know, it makes you understand why the apostles, you know, they went from like denying the Lord three times and doing all kind of goofy things, and then all of a sudden they're like Superman. Because if you've seen someone, your leader, raising from the dead, that would seal your faith. And then, of course, later on, getting the baptism would really do it. But, I mean, just knowing that he rose from the dead and you've seen him in an incorruptible body. After that, the Lord made sure he showed up to James and then all the other apostles at that time, whoever else was an apostle. And Paul says, "Last of all, he was seen of me also, as of one born out of due time." So we got all these witnesses right here. You have well over 500, right? This sentence is so important. To know Yeshua fulfilled the Torah is vital for every believer in Messiah. You have to know that. Even Yeshua says himself, "These are the words which I spake unto you when I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses," which is known as the Torah, "and in the prophets, and in the Psalms," and that's known as all the rest of the scripture, "concerning me." Okay? And a lot of people don't know that the Feast of First Fruits, or the First Fruits, is about the Messiah. And he is fulfilling that. So we're going to go to Leviticus right here. Jehovah spoke unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, When you come into the land which I give you, and you reap the harvest thereof, you shall bring a sheaf of the first fruit of your harvest unto the priest, right? And he shall wave the sheaf before Jehovah to be accepted when? On the morrow after the Sabbath. The priest shall wave it. The morrow after the Sabbath is known as the first day of the week.
Sunday,
right? You know, and you shall offer that day when you wave the sheaf. And, of course, this is what they did. We only do it in memorial. They offered a lamb without blemish the first year for a burnt offering unto Jehovah. And the meat offering thereof shall be 2 tenth deals of fine flour mingled with oil. An offering made by fire unto Jehovah for a sweet savor, and a drink offering thereof shall be of wine, the fourth part of a hin. And ye shall eat neither bread nor parched corn, nor green ears, until the same selfsame day that you have brought an offering unto your God. So we all brought an offering. And it shall be a statute forever throughout your generations in all your dwellings. Right? It says, and then we're going to move on to the actual feast. And you shall count unto you from the morrow after the Sabbath. Right? You hear all the how God's giving all his times? They're not on whatever you figure out or whatever you think. He has a specific time. And you shall count from the morrow after the Sabbath, from the day that you brought the sheaf of the wave offering. You're supposed to count 7 Sabbaths. And we're going to start doing that. Right? It says 7 Sabbaths shall be complete. Even, he says it again, even unto the morrow after the 7th Sabbath shall you number 50 days. Right? Obviously 7 weeks is 49 plus 1 day is 50 days. And you shall offer a new meat offering unto Jehovah. And give an offering to God there too. The morrow again after the Sabbath is known as the first day of the week, known today as Sunday. Right? You shall bring out of your habitation 2 wave loaves of 2 tenth deals. They shall be of fine flour. They shall be baking with leaven. We're going to try not to forget that this year. They are the first fruits unto Jehovah. This is during the Feast of Weeks. It's totally a new thing because in the Feast of Weeks, you can have leaven again. And you shall offer with the bread 7 lambs without blemish of the first year. One of your bullocks and 2 rams, and they shall be for a burnt offering unto Jehovah with their meat offering and their drink offerings, even an offering made by fire of a sweet savor unto Jehovah. Now, we only do this in memorial, but we try to do as much of it as we can. You know what I mean? So, Yeshua, it says right here, it's the first fruits is when?
Tomorrow.
And it's known as what today?
Sunday.
I mean, this is not a trick question. It says, then you shall sacrifice 1 kid of the goats for a sin offering and 2 lambs of the first year for a sacrifice of peace offerings. And then, of course, even at that time, and the priest shall wave them with the bread of the first fruits for a wave offering. So one is the first fruits of the barley, and then we're going to have the first fruits of the wheat. It says, for a wave offering before Jehovah with the 2 lambs, they shall be holy to Jehovah for the priest. So the two loaves with the leaven should be made of wheat. And ye shall proclaim on the selfsame day that it may be a holy convocation. It's a public meeting, a sacred assembly. Unto you, you shall do no civil work therein, no melechet avodah, no public or domestic work. It shall be a statute forever in all your dwellings throughout all your generations. Forever. Okay, it's forever. So, and that's called Pentecost because it's 50 days, okay? I don't see anything that's complicated here. It says, and we reap the harvest of your land, that it says, thou shalt not make clean riddance of the corners of the field. Of course, we don't have any lands to do this. When thou reapest, neither shalt thou gather any gleaming of thy harvest, but you're supposed to leave it for the poor and the stranger. I am Jehovah your God, right?
Yes.
Anyway, Yeshua fulfilled that perfectly because he rose from the dead on the first day of the week. He is the first fruits. And to show that, Apostle Paul makes it very, Paul declares, Yeshua is the first fruits. 1 Corinthians 15:20, but now is Messiah risen from the dead and become the first fruits. Can you misinterpret that? I don't know why these people lately are thinking that he rose on Saturday. That's ridiculous. Of them that slept, the ones that are dead, but every man in his own order, Messiah the first fruits. Afterward, they that are Messiahs at his coming. So we're going to be fruit too later on, and we're all going to get an incorruptible body. That's what that's talking about. Messiah was the first one. Yeah. Wouldn't it be nice? No back pains, no any kind of anything. Perfect. But here we have Yeshua fulfilling Torah, and then we have, after Yeshua rises from the dead on the first day of the week, Apostle Paul declaring that he is the first fruits in Leviticus. He knows, Apostle Paul knows about the Torah. Yeshua was to rise from the dead with an incorruptible body. He's the first one, right? Now, here's what I wrote. If you think Yeshua rose on Saturday, or if you do the first fruits on Saturday, you throw off the date of the Feast of Weeks, 50 days, Pentecost, which is on the first day of the week, known as Sunday, and is a Sabbath, as it states in Leviticus chapter 23. In other words, you messed the whole, you actually erased the Torah, erased what Yeshua did, and you just start making something up that somebody made up on a website or somewhere else. I don't know where they get it from. I think it's simple myself. Okay. Is anything that you, anything you don't understand that I just said? Okay. Okay, below are some other witnesses that also prove Yeshua rose from the dead. I mean, there's tons of witnesses. I'm just going to read a couple in the Gospels, and I'll tell you why. Matthew 28, in the end of the Sabbath, it's the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week. Dawn, you know, everybody knows what that is.
Morning.
Came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of Jehovah actually descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. Wow. You know, when I read this, I always think of how they make angels like effeminate or just like, you know, just little... Little baby. They're always little babies. You always notice that? Little wing.
Cherubs.
Wings. This sounds like a gigantic. Look at it says right here. Check this out. His countenance was his. He's a male too. He's not a female. It says his countenance was like lightning and his raiment white as snow. I don't remember reading about a female angel. But in the world, that's all you got. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the woman, Fear ye not, for I know you seek Yeshua, which was crucified. Look what the angel says. He's not here. Here's another witness. He's risen. Come and see the place where the Lord lay. So here we have Mary Magdalene and the other people witnessing, more witnesses, that they're seeing an actual spiritual being giving them the message that he's risen. And he says, go quickly and tell his disciples that he's risen from the dead. Go tell everybody he's risen from the dead. And behold, he goes before you into Galilee, and there you're going to see him. Lo, I've told you. And of course, I would have did the same thing. And they parted quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy. And did run to bring the disciples word, right? Yeah. They were so excited that they seen a heavenly being saying that he is risen from the dead, because he wasn't in the sepulchre, right? So there we have one account. It says, and as they went to tell the disciples, check this out. Behold, Yeshua met them. Wow. Could you imagine that? I mean, Mary Magdalene and everybody's running. And right in the, all of a sudden, Yeshua met them saying, all hail. And they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. Praise the Lord. And Yeshua said unto them, be not afraid. Go and tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there they shall see me. Wow. Of course, now Satan tries to get in, of course, just like always. So in the meanwhile, all this amazing, glorious stuff is going on. Now when they were going, behold, some of the watch came into the city and showed unto the chief priests all the things that were done. And when they were assembled with the elders, they had taken counsel how they gave them large money unto the soldiers, big bribe, saying, say ye, go tell everybody, his disciples came by night and stole him away while we slept.
Yep.
Liars. And if they come to the governor's ears, we will persuade him and secure you. Don't worry about it. We've got the whole thing fixed. Okay? So these weasels took the money and did as they were taught. And obviously, this saying is commonly reported among the Jews until this day. And even till this day, 2013. There's actually books written that Yeshua didn't even die, that he was real just wounded and they took him away. There's all kind of crazy books out there. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Yeshua had appointed them. They went to this mountain, and when they saw him, they worshipped him. They worshipped him. I guess he must be God. But some doubted. Always, there's always the doubters. And Yeshua came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me, all power in heaven and in earth. Go therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And he says, and lo, I am with you always. Praise the Lord. Even to the end of the world. Amen. Isn't that nice to know? Yeshua is always with us, even today. Holy Spirit, be with us. Amen. And that's one account. Now we'll just go to Mark real quick. That's a beautiful account. Yeah, it's a beautiful account. Yeshua said unto them, be not affrighted. Oh, no, the angel said, be not affrighted. You seek Yeshua of Nazareth, which was crucified. He's risen. He's not here. Behold the place where they laid him. Right, he's not there. Just think, it's the only tomb where there's no bones and nothing there, because it's clean, because he rose from the dead. If you go into any other person's grave today, you'll see a bunch of dead bones and whatever you can find. I don't know what, stench and dust or whatever. Your shoes is clean, you know? So that was Matthew, Mark, and now we'll go to Luke real quick. Now, I don't know if anybody can misinterpret this. Now upon the first day of the week, what day is that?
First day of the week.
What day is that?
Sunday.
It says very early in the morning, that's called dawn, they came unto the sepulchre bringing the spices which they had prepared, certain others with them, and they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre. Remember, the angel did that. And they entered in, they found not the body of the Lord Yeshua. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, all of a sudden, this is a different account. Two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were affrighted and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, why seek ye the living among the dead? Amen. He's not here, but he is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet with you in Galilee. You know, as you read the Gospels, we can easily see these are all independent accounts of the life, ministry, death, resurrection of the Messiah. It simply tells us there was no collusion. An independent account always means that someone's going to say some ingredients and someone's going to say some other variables. There are no contradictions that we have found showing the accounts actually are true to fact. Some of the Gospels have limited information. That is why you need to read all the Gospels, put the whole story together in one picture. So really, you need to get all the Gospels and make one big picture. Because the other one says the angel came, this one, and it rolled the stone away. This one says the stone was only rolled away and two people showed up. So that means that must have all happened, because it's all separate accounts. And there was an earthquake. Yeah. Also remember, when you read the Gospels and the letters, they cannot contradict Torah or the prophets, known as Tanakh, right? You know that. And also, I should say, I'd like to say, most historians and any archaeological discoveries, what they have found is when they search out the Gospels, the way they can prove authenticity, they find a common thread through them. You know, they know the era that we're talking about. They know the city. They know some of the customs. They know the geographical location of the cities and the mountains and the streams and the waters. Mm-hmm. So they can actually prove that the Gospels are accurate. Excuse me? And of course, also the rulers that were running the cities at the time, the governors. So that's how you know the Gospels are actually true, because of you could use external sources like historians or archaeologists and people like that. They can actually prove that is a true story because everything is accurate as far as, you know, like I just explained to you. You understand what I just said?
Yes. Uh-huh.
Right.
Yes.
So that's how you prove something. And that's what I'm trying to show today, that you have to actually be able to prove things. You can't just go, it's in the Bible. But you have to explain what's in the Bible and how could you prove the Bible. Obviously, if you look at, like I was saying earlier, if you look at anybody else's grave, I don't know if anybody else ever rose from the dead in an incorruptible body, do you? I don't know. But anyway, I hope you understand some of the proofs I'm trying to give. Here's Yeshua himself declaring he rose from the dead. How's that for a witness? He says, I am he that lives and was dead, and behold, I'm alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death.
Yes.
He says it again in another part of Revelation. And the angel of the church in Smyrna write, he tells him to write this. These things saying the first and the last, which was dead and is alive. He rose from the dead. No grave can hold him. Right? What grave can hold him? Nothing. You know, Houdini, I remember reading about Houdini. He told his wife for many years that he was going to come back from the dead. And she left a candle lit or some kind of light on or something. And he's never come back, did he? And there's other people that proclaimed they were going to come back from the dead. And I never seen them. Have you?
No, they didn't.
And there's nothing written about them. But here we have witnesses. We have geographical locations. We have angels, heavenly beings, Yeshua himself. There's a lot of witnesses that said this took place. And you could take this for whatever it's worth, okay? Okay, you could. In other words, you know, I'm not trying to. There's a lot of books that are external from the Bible that actually say the same thing. Here's one right here. This is from a source outside of the scripture, from a Jewish historian, Flavius Josephus. He was around 37 to, I don't know, around 110 A.D., so he was there sometime when Yeshua was alive. Here's what he says in Book 18, Chapter 3, Paragraph 3. He says, now there was about this time Yeshua, a wise man, if it be lawful to call him a man. He was a doer of wonderful works, a teacher of such men as received the truth with pleasure. He drew away to him both many of the Jews and many of the Gentiles. He was, and it has in parentheses, the Messiah. And when Pilate, at that suggestion of the principal men amongst us, had condemned him to the cross, those that loved him at the first did not forsake him, for he appeared to them alive again the third day. Says, as the divine prophets had foretold these, and 10,000 other wonderful things concerning him. And the tribe of Christians, so named from him, is not extinct at his day. So here we are today, in the truest sense, we are the real Christians, Notri, you know, we're the real Messiah followers, you know, Mashichim. Notri is the Christians and, you know, Mashichi, we're the real Christians. These people are just Protestants, Catholics, and whatever else you want to call them. And I have other books, too, that talk about Yeshua. It's nice to find books that talk about Yeshua that's external from the Bible. Shows you that other people wrote about him. It's just hard to find, okay? But that was one right there. Just a couple other verses, and we're finished. Paul says, "For I read this already, but I like to read it again. I just love reading this. For I have delivered unto you, first of all, which I have also received, how Messiah died for our sins. He died for our sins, according to the Scriptures." Yeah, if you read Isaiah 53, you'll know all about that. And that he was buried, that's verified that he was buried. It's very important to know that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures. It's really important to know those facts. His death, burial, resurrection, and appearances, right? You should try to concentrate on those four ingredients, because those are all important, okay? Let's see here. I'll go to 2 Corinthians 5. For the love of Messiah constrains us, because we thus judge. Here's how we judge the matter. If one died for all, guess what? Then all were dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him who died for them and rose again. So Paul is always talking about, you know, Messiah's resurrection. It's very important. Paul tells the Thessalonians, who died, he told about Messiah, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him, which is obviously information that he's alive and he rose from the dead, right? So anyway, today, I guess, after this little study today, we could read the book of Jonah, you know, it only takes a few minutes. And that's what Yeshua says to those people, that he would, that would be the only sign he's given them as the prophet Jonah, right? Yeah, and that talks about another person and has the 3 days and nights. And remember, when we talk about 3 days and three nights, we're never talking about exact timing, okay? Some people, yeah, it's not 24-hour periods and all that kind of stuff. Yeshua rose the first day of the week, which was the third day, okay? Yeah, I mean, anyway, again, I just wanted to remind you, Tuesday night will be online, okay, Lord willing, and then Wednesday will be right here again, Lord willing, at 12 o'clock, and we'll be keeping a Sabbath, right? And I hope you understood what I said about the Gospels. There's many ways to really prove the Gospels. If you look at it through a spiritual forensic detective eye and a historian and an archaeologist, you know, you really want to get the evidence. You know, you want to get the facts. And once you get witnesses and you get the artifacts and you get the proof and heavenly beings and Yeshua himself, I mean, and you know, independent accounts are always going to be different. All of us here could look at an accident, and I know we'll all see something a little different. But once we put it all together, you have a total picture. Sure. Everyone, all the police do that, all the detectives, they get witnesses, and then they paint the whole picture, and they can see it clearly from every direction. But anyway, I'm going to stop here. I hope you enjoyed my short little study today on the Feast of First Fruits. I call it the feast because it's a happy time. It's a festival time, and it is the first fruits. And, you know, it's a shame. We live in this, we live in the Bible Belt. Most people don't. And, you know, I drive around, and I don't even see anybody. I haven't seen a church yet that says the resurrection of Yeshua the Messiah or Jesus the Christ. I see Easter. I see, Yeah, I didn't see anybody even says that. But anyway, Heavenly Father, I thank and praise you, Lord, for another first fruits, that you are the first fruits unto the living God. And Lord and God, we acknowledge these things as much as we can in memorial. We thank and praise you for the knowledge that we could even share these words. Heavenly Father, I pray you always give us ears and eyes and hearts to receive all these things and digest them. Give us more revelation of your word, and I pray you give us all more discernment, which we all need very badly. Give us more faith, more fear, more understanding, wisdom. Lord and God, we thank and praise you, Lord, that we could be here. We look to the kingdom of heaven. Yes, Father, we we wonder what that incorruptible body is going to be that we're going to receive one day, how it must feel, how eternity must feel, being immortal, no more any of these earthly things. Heavenly Father, I thank and praise you. Put this yearning in our hearts to be clothed with the new body. Heavenly Father, like it says in the Scriptures. I thank and praise you for this day. Bless the rest of this day, this first day of the week, the first fruits, and bless everyone here and everyone else that acknowledges these scriptures. We give you the praise, Father, and the thanks in Yeshua's name. Amen and amen. Amen. Anyway, shalom, everyone. I'm going to stop the recording. God bless everyone out there in cyberspace. Okay? And I'm going to stop this right